The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 14th through the 18th, 1999, Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life, Chicago.
First, a couple of announcements. Remember, we're having a question period tonight. You were very generous last night. We may need more questions to fill the box. Secondly, after this conference, the list of times will now be available for private conferences. And then after this conference, we're having confessions. Be sure to get a confession during the retreat. Our present meditation is on the qualities of faith. In approaching this vast subject, our main concern is to make sure we realize that the foundation of our spiritual life is our faith. I repeat, of our spiritual life is our faith. We first of all want to separate those qualities in our faith which pertain to us as believers, apart from the fact that faith requires grace. Those pray who want to pray. However, besides the willingness to pray, we must have grace. God must be helping us, inspiring us to pray. When you speak of divine faith, is divine twice over. Divine because we pray only with the aid of divine grace, is also divine because the object of our faith is no less than God. We believe in God. Only the measure of our faith in God do we believe. Over the years, I've taught the theology of faith to my students and have come to separate the qualities of faith into certain distinctive features. First of all, faith is obscure. What do I mean? We don't have a full understanding what we believe. Moreover, we do not, I don't say, fully understand what we understand about the faith is not fully grasped. We may say there is partial clarity, incomplete understanding, even in heaven, when we reach our heavenly destiny, for all eternity, we will still be going in our grasp of faith. However, I wish to especially stress the fact that we can believe, and we should believe, what we profess, but we do not fully grasp with our minds what we believe. And this obtains whenever we do not ourselves see why something is true. We may know that something is true. We know there's a Trinity. We do not comprehend the Trinity. We know there's a real presence. We do not fully understand what the real presence means. And this further means that we are not unique in not fully understanding the faith. There is nothing, no knowledge we have, that is complete and exhaustive. For I was sent to Europe to get a doctorate in theology. I finished my graduate studies for a doctorate in chemistry. Years of study. No one fully understands any science. Faith, therefore, is not unusual, having a degree of obscurity. And this is important. We're dealing with a widespread, shall I call it, unbelieving world. People go to college, get themselves a degree, and stupidly, they think they know all about the subject which they've spent long hours in studying. But the main reason why our faith, as we call it, is obscure is because the principal object, what we believe, are mysteries. The mysteries, as we know, are God's self-manifestation. There is no way. I don't think we shall fully understand God before we enter eternity. Strange statement. One reason why heaven must be eternal, or take an eternity to begin to understand what now we believe. 1,000 centuries in eternity. We shall only begin to understand, which means comprehend who God is. Second quality of our faith. Our faith is obscure, but it is also a totally free act of our wills behind the mind. The basis of freedom in faith, of freedom in fact, is the evidence. For faith is never so compelling that a person could not and does not have solid grounds for not accepting what he believes. All the knowledge we have is, absolutely speaking, free. But faith knowledge is free twice over. We drink, in this case, orange juice. There's no way and understand the meaning, the full comprehension of even a glass of water. H2O. I would defy anyone to explain to me fully what does it mean. There are 2 atoms of hydrogen and 1 of oxygen in every drop of water. All knowledge of a peak is free in its own way, but faith knowledge is free twice over. It is first of all free because I do not have the means to fully comprehend the grounds what I believe. I believe indeed, but why do I believe? I read a book, heard in class, others that I know believe. But to understand even the existence of God is only partially comprehensible. Once again, every act of faith we make is free because I do not have complete grasp of what I believe. What I believe is that I know that something is true. Hear it. Because I trust God, I do not fully understand how or why something is true. I have a chart here which I have used in teaching the theology of faith. It's the first one-line chart. The will commands the mind to assent because of the benefits derived from what I believe. The will commands the mind to assent to certain things because of the benefit I derive from believing. My will is completely free and correspond with grace and believe or refuse to correspond with the grace I've received and say I don't believe. And only those who want to believe, believe. No one else does. What does the will do in faith? The will commands the mind to believe. The mind does not, cannot, fully grasp no matter what I believe. I tell my will, command my mind, believe. In spite of many obstacles which inhibit assent to my faith completely. The tools of revelation are mainly deep mysteries. I like to say this. Please God, we'll be in heaven through all eternity. But after a thousand centuries in heaven, we shall only begin to grasp the meaning of what we will have seen in the beatific vision. In other words, the mind will accept, but this needs to be said, here on earth there is nothing, the word is nothing, be the third time, there is nothing that we fully understand, nothing, zero, which we fully understand. Yet we believe. wine we believe, food we trust in the authority and the wisdom of God who tells us something is true. In the last hours we believe all the benefits we know we derive from believing. Thus, unless we believe in God, I repeat, unless we believed in God, we could not love Him. Unless we believe what God has revealed, we would not control our passions, glory and virtue. Unless we believed how this needs to be said, only God knows how happy we are. But no two of us are equally happy. That's not only because of our human limitations. It is also because of our lack of understanding what we believe. Let me tell you, we shall be only as happy in this life as we believe. The more deeply and sincerely we believe what God has revealed, the more happy we will be. Oh, how important this is. We shall love God only in the measure that we believe in Him. And we believe with our minds. Though we need to grow and keep growing in our understanding of God, so as to love Him more. One week that God sends us trials, difficulties, temptations, is that we might go to Him and obtain from Him the help we so desperately need to more clearly and deeply understand. It is one thing to believe. It is something else to understand what we believe. And the more deeply we understand, the more strongly we shall believe, and the more strongly we believe, the happier we are going to be. How this needs to be emphasized, is only as happy as our faith is deep, no more. For 5 years, I've told some of you more than once, I taught at a state university. After 5 years, they fired me. And the reason was, there were over 2,000 students at the State University taking classes in religion which I taught. Over 2,000 students. The class was too small. Large halls I had for class. The other 6 professors teaching theology and empty classrooms. And most of my students were not Catholic and were scarcely Christians. There is nothing on earth that brings us deeper and stronger happiness than a strong and deep faith. faith makes sense of everything in life. So much for the freedom of our faith. Third quality of faith. Faith is supernatural. And I'm sure you know, in the early days of the church, there was a famous heresy called Pelagianism. Basic Pelagianism claims we can understand whatever we believe. You don't fully understand, don't believe it. Pelagianism has deeply penetrated, saturated our nation. In the Detroit where I live, I know personally priests who don't believe everything which the Catholic Church teaches. And this supernaturality of faith has been defined time and again. What do we mean by saying that faith is supernatural? Faith is supernatural because it cannot be believed by the mind alone. You need God's grace. Yet grace, you must pay for it. Pay for it by your prayer. Pray for a growth of faith. You must pay for it by learning to understand our faith. I wouldn't waste your time talking to you during these conferences, as I gave you work to do. In God's name, grow in your understanding of the faith. Because it cannot be grasped by the mind alone. We must therefore pray, Lord, deepen my faith. Lord, make my understanding of the faith more deep. And we grow in our understanding of the faith in the measure that we pray, and pray also to grasp the meaning of what we believe. I will now start a 2-semester course on prayer and ask you, why do we pray? What good is prayer? The most important single virtue for growing in faith is intellectual humility. I've told this on some occasion to some of you. 1 month in the novitiate, I was called by the novice master to John, you have to grow in humility. I'll give you 1 month from today. You come back. I'll let you know whether you are more intellectually humble than you have been a month ago. I won't ask you. I'll ask your fellow novices. Oh, how I prayed during that month. Should have prayed to the novice master. He smiled. You made it. In some slight, very slight improvement in your humility. We must humbly admit we are sheer ignoramuses when it comes to grasping our faith. We must grow in our knowledge of the faith by prayer, by growth in humility, by receiving the sacraments. When he said this, in God's name I plead with you to receive our Lord in Holy Communion every day. Go to confession every 2 weeks. Grow in the grasp of what you believe. Fourth quality of our faith, it provides us with infallible certitude. What do we mean? Infallibility means immunity from error. There is nothing which we believe taught by the universal church, which is in the least in error. Why? Because God revealed it. God's grace is confirming our faith and strengthening it by having us grasp more clearly, grasp more firmly what we believe. Importance, the great importance of growing in our grasp of the faith. But notice, I did not say our faith is certain, is infallibly certain. And hear it. A Catholic who doubts, doesn't have to deny, doubts a single revealed truth of our faith has lost the virtue of faith. Do you hear me? A Catholic never doubts anything which the Catholic Church teaches as an article of faith. Only God knows how many apostate Catholics we have in the United States. My estimate is, strange statement, over 20 million. In unclosed churches,